Pick up your paintbrush. It's time for Hobby Support Group. Hello, listeners, and good evening, Ben.
Hello, Tom. Lovely to see you.
Hello, Ben. Hello, listeners, and your ears do not deceive you. We have actually succeeded in bringing to fruition a plan that we had. So here is the third and final part of the Salute Roundup, where we talk to all the hosts of the podcast independently, as we couldn't record at a single time. So here we are today with Ben to chat about Salute. And we are still within the calendar month of when the event happened. So yay for that. Listeners, hope you are ready for round three of what one of us thought to Salute and my interjections on that. And next week we will be back with hobby news. So we will finally be moving on to Salute and bringing you news that's probably also over a month old. But anyway, this is what you get for HSG current on the nose hobby news. So good evening, Ben. How are you this evening?
Oh, I'm smashing. Thanks, Tom. Yeah, I'm very pleased to be here.
Pertinent questions on the off the bat. Wednesday evening, what hydration fluid do you have this evening?
I have got a glass of water.
Ooh.
So I really pushed the boat out tonight. I really pushed the boat out.
I will have a flagon of summer berry squash.
Oh, wonderful. It's tap water as well, so it's really... top quality stuff. Well, that bottled rubbish.
Listeners should know, before Ben became a host of the show, he was one of those people who would email in to say that he'd like to know what we were drinking. So this is now where we always make sure, a point to make sure when Ben is on.
Fucking heck, yes.
It's important. It lets people see behind the curtain.
Well, I mean, at Salute, when we were talking to Mark Backhouse, one of the questions that he was interested in was what we were drinking. So it clearly... is something that is going around the wargaming world, is the need to know, the need, absolute desire to know what people are drinking.
What is your cordial of choice? is it Vimto? Is it off-brand? Is it store-bought Vimto? Is it off-brand Vimto? Well, you now have these different flash-in-the-pan Vimtos, like the pomegranate Vimto and the weird purple one. anyway, this is not Tom Squash.
I can't believe we got to a list already of squashes. Not even wargaming related.
I have anyway, a list go. Of questions. Question I have a list pad.
Oh.
I literally, you can see my notice board behind me with its variety of lists. I have lists of lists.
It's true, listeners. I can confirm this is the case.
Yeah, the joy of my office / living room having a 6-foot whiteboard on it, which just lets you be even more unplanned. So, Salute this year, Ben. How are you a long-term Salute visitor?
Yeah, no, I've been to Salute for quite a number of years now. I suppose ever since I moved into East London, sort of 10, 11 years ago. It makes sense to go to Salute. It's down the road. So it's been something that I've certainly been involved with. But to be honest, before then, I hadn't really been to many shows. Been kind of hobbying along, poodling along, just doing stuff for fun and for local gaming. But going to shows was not something I'd really done. And even to date, I suppose, Salute is the one I really go to. But I've been over to Partisan as well now. So I've got a slightly expanded my horizon. So I'd like to get to a few others in the future. But Salute, I've got a fair track record. I've got quite a number of dice in my dice box with various logos on.
They are, and at least they do always have the common sense of making sure the logo is on the six.
Yes.
Heathens that put it on the one.
Weirdos.
Wrong. They probably get put in the bin.
Straight to the bit.
So what have, if you've been sort of like, you've been to many Salutes and you've sort of seen how it's changed over the years, what was your first impressions for this year's event?
Yeah, I felt like, I suppose, a kind of regular Salute. I suppose over the last few years, we've all been wondering quite, you know, how things would eventually return to normal after pandemic times, and I think the last couple of years have proven we're kind of back on course with a well attended, busy show in the same way that Salute always has been. It was big, it was buzzing, there was lots of people there. It was a good place to be. I really enjoyed it.
I think that's an interesting point, really. I suppose like this year in many ways is probably like the first one that's probably like properly post-lockdown, post-pandemic thing, although like, you know, loads of people have still got COVID at the moment and that sort of stuff. But no, like definitely like the first one back was a kind of like halfway house, wasn't it? It wasn't that sort of busy. And then like last year's was noticeably busier than the previous years, but still not necessarily as it was. And it sounds like this year was probably like the biggest yet, from what everybody sort of said. Now, when you went along this year, did you go with anything sort of in mind? I know like you haven't listened to the other two episodes yet, but Ed sort of went sort of a rather laissez-faire, no real sort of plans for anything, not really intending to get very much. So Andy had his sort of like opening sprawl list.
Yeah.
bits he'd meant to sort of pick up. Were you sort of somewhere in between or
not? I didn't have massive. I think generally at the moment in hobby times at the moment, I'm trying to only buy models if I know I'm going to get onto them straight away. And because I've still got a few things that I'm working on, I didn't particularly want to buy many models. The only thing I was kind of like keeping half an eye open was at some of the Legions Imperialis stuff for using for Epic, like Epic Armageddon, which I'm slowly building up a few models for that. But that was the only kind of thing I had in the back of my mind. There's a couple of other bits, you know, boring bits. I picked up some Renedra bases. I picked up some MDF bases from War Bases to use as tokens, like pool tokens for IABSM. There wasn't anything in particular. I was in the back of my mind, I was kind of thinking that maybe picking up a few little bits of scenery, if there was anything that particularly tickled my fancy in the past. I quite like looking at Ushiro model terrain when they had a stand there. I don't think they had a stand this year. I didn't come across it. I think they had they might have had a link, been linked to one of the games, but I don't think they had a stand. Otherwise, I might well have picked up a few little bits of scatter from there, because I'm just trying to make my tables look pretty. So that was one thing, and just keep an eye out if there was any interesting new models that I thought might be a kind of one-off monster model or something that I could add to something I've already got going. But yeah, I think there wasn't anything in particular. The only purchase I came away with really was some tokens for O Group, which I thought I'm going to have to get at some point. I might as well get them from Rich while I was there. So I picked up the tokens for O Group, which I intend to play at some point in the future. So they're in the cupboard now, like ready to go when they're needed.
Like cards and tokens and that sort of stuff that you need are almost like the most boring of all purchases, aren't they? It's not like a rule book where you can sort of sit there and read it or anything. No. Like, I really need these tokens, but they're just going to sort of sit there until I finally get around to playing the game.
Yeah, no. So I didn't, while I was there, I didn't buy any models. Apart from while I was there, I did order some tiny Land Raiders online while I was at the Salute, because no one had anything in stock. So I just ordered some online while I was there. Nothing particularly on the day.
Well, I suppose, like, unfortunately this year I couldn't go, but I'd have been in a very similar boat in that, like, I'm trying not to buy anything until I'm ready to paint it. And to be honest, because I didn't get to go this year, I'm quite tempted to try and see if I can go this year without buying any models. I've almost finished my ECW stuff, and then just like got a few other projects I'd like to work on. I just think it might be a nice idea if, I've spent this year without buying any models, but I've still been hobbying and painting. But like, normally it's things like bits of terrain, the scatter things, or like the odd, like, oh, that's a cool monster. That's a cool, like, like a D&D character or a cool boss thing. Or like, I know, like 1 year I bought like a little T-800 like bust. It's like the only bust I ever bought for paint. So I was thinking that you go like, if you saw it online, you might think, oh, I'm not really going to sort of buy that. But then when you sort of see it in the flesh for like, you know, a fiver, you go, well, that's coming home with me.
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
And then, yeah, like all the rock and roll stuff, like basses and movement trays and that sort of stuff, where you go, well, I need, like, I could do with like an extra 350 sort of like 20 mil round basses. How much are these? About 5p each, they'll do. all that kind of stuff. But I think, like, the thing that I did miss myself was not going to see, like, what little bits of scatter terrain there is talking about. Because I think, like, you obviously, like, especially if you're on the social media, like, you notice, like, when all the companies are bringing out the new models. But lots of those, like, little terrain companies, which, you know, a man in his shed or, like, you know, a couple in the garage or something, who have got, like, you know, here's some, like, castings of, like, hay ricks or hay bales. Or
yeah, that kind of stuff. Brilliant.
You never sort of going to really notice. So you go, oh, here's some, like, Iron Age barrows or roundhouses or that sort of stuff, where you go, well, it's intended for this, but it will definitely work for something else. whatever I want to, I'm supposed to be for this scale, but you know they're either very far away or very close. So when you were sort of like wandering around, were there any models that sort of like struck you? Any of the new eye candy things that are out and about?
Yeah, I suppose the only thing that kind of really struck me was the new Warlord Games Epic Scale stuff for Hail Caesar. So the Punic War Carthaginians and Romans, as well as the kind of Gallic tribesmen, which look really good. They just look good. so I think that is going to be a temptation. I've got some 28 mil Carthaginians, but I'm going to get rid of them at some point. So if anyone wants them, let me know. Because I've got a few units painted up, but I just don't think I'm ever going to get to a stage where I actually play a game with them, whereas just because I don't think you're going to get the look of it, and also GW stopped making the Corax white spray paint, which I was using for my undercoat and base coat, so that's kind of scuppered the rest of the army, quite frankly, so I can't be bothered to continue with them. So they're going to go, but I could see myself replacing them with teeny tiny version of them, because I think it could look quite cool. It could look quite cool playing Hail Caesar at that particular scale. Maybe. We'll see.
I think Andy's potentially quite keen on that, because I think... But I agree. Like, I've got some 28mm ancients. I've got 28mm Romans. and some 28mm Celts. And they're never going to get finished. That's like big army. It's like I have got... Like, I've got some Celts for Infamy, and some Romans, actually, but I've never got around to playing it. It's another one. Yeah. It was like, games from the lockdown era.
Yeah. See, I probably would give it a crack at finishing them off, but it's literally, I can't get the spray paint to do it now. And I don't want to, I'm very picky about how my models look. And if I can't make new ones match the old ones, I will feel very sad about it.
Has one of the, like, is there not some person in a shed somewhere who is doing a spray paint that is the exact...
Possibly.
Legally distinct, you know, it's advertised.
Legally distinct, yeah.
Different avian white.
Maybe. They might stay in their box for a little bit and see what... If something turns up.
I have seen the pictures of them and they do look very nice. I think it's quite interesting. This is really fun for me because I get to record. I'm recording this. I know you haven't listened to the other two episodes yet.
No.
So I find it interesting because, like, Ancient seems to have been something that none of us play at the moment, but seems everybody seems to have sort of like picked up on, because Andy was really taken with the Strength and Honor. I think, like, I was. Because I've got the PDFs, and I still saw on the Facebook group today for it, somebody was showing how they'd got, like, the PDFs printed by, like, a commercial printer or some really good cardstock.
Mm,
and I was like, that could be a really good... That's a, essentially like a really nice, relatively cheap, very simple way of having massive ancient armies of just printed out that can live in a folder. And so I think definitely later on this year or next year, because we're already hurtling through this year, I think Strength of Honor might be on.
Maybe next year's cards.
Yeah. So apart from that Warlord Hail Caesar stuff, then did you see did you go to look more specifically at the minis, or did you go to look at the games, or just sort of like have a wander around?
I go to shows generally to look at the games, and to maybe buy some stuff, but generally to look at the games. And my favourite bit of the hobby really is setting up a really nice table with really nice terrain, really nice models, and having it all set up and planned. We've talked about narrative game before. I love narrative gaming for exactly the same reason, that it allows me to set up a table that looks really good, built around a story. There's a story on the table, and it just the table kind of brings that to life. And I think the thing I like about the shows, and the reason I deliberately chose Partisan as the other show I wanted to go to, is because Partisan, I think, is probably the peak, is peak beautiful table. And Salute also has, because of the size of it, you have an awful lot of really, really nice tables. And there were some fantastic tables there this year, and I've picked out a few that I really liked. There's you probably have to mention the Garada table, which was the kind of big walled city, Italian walled city, on a hill, really big table, absolutely beautiful, really, really lovely. So that was a kind of stunning one in terms of terrain and the level of the amount of time and depth that had gone into preparing that table. That was a stunner for me. I think other highlights for me were the Barricardi Factory, which was a water tanker game in the Lard Zone, and it was a huge table, 28 mil water tanker game with German and Russian tanks just fighting over this completely rubble-strewn factory and rail yard complex, and it was beautiful, like with pieces of machinery that had been created, and then and the time that had been taken in kind of working on the factory buildings to create this to make walls that look like walls. It's not just like, you know, not like a plastic kit where it's slapped together or a cardboard sheet that's been put there. These were like each building, and there was lots and lots of buildings had proper walls, and then matching rubble. Like, and this about, you know, this table has been about, I don't know how long it was, about a 20-foot table or something, strewn in it. It was amazing. And being able to see people playing across that was brilliant. It just really set it up. Some of the other ones I really enjoyed. I'm just going to drop loads of names here because I think people deserve a shout out.
We love a list.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's have a list. I think well done to Ashford Gaming Club. It was not a massive. It wasn't a giant game, but it was a really nice game. They did. They called it I Can't Believe It's Not Epic, which was kind of an Adeptus Titanicus game across a city table, with modified rules for infantry, and they used and had Tyranids as well. So it was Tyranids versus Titans and swarms of Tyranids. It was a really lovely looking table, really nicely put together, and just really exciting. Made you want to go and do it. It was great. It was lovely. I think another one that kind of stood out to me was Retired War Games Reloads, I think it was. And it was a 6th of June glider troops daytime game, so it was kind of hold until relieved was the name of it, I think. And it was 15 mil, it was 10-15 mil, and it was a big table, gliders on the table, airplanes in the air, it was canals, buildings, orchards, columns of vehicles. It absolutely brilliant, really, really nice. That was a lovely one. And then the other ones, there was a couple of 28 mil kind of boat based kind of games. So there was I think one was London, I think it was London War Games Guild, which is like I think it was, they called it Water Viking, which was raids from the Thames on London with Vikings, and that was really nice. That was a really nice table as well. The ships were lovely, and it looked like lots of people were joining in with that one. And there was also I don't know who this one was, but there's a kind of Tudor era boat game, so kind of like never mind the boat hooks variant of Billhooks potentially, but that had dozens of these 28 mil Tudor boats around this table. It was packed, and it was massive, and it was bonkers, and it was really, 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 really good. So I thought those kind of were the kind of things that I really liked. There were, in particular, I think there's kind of three things that really stood out to me. So three games that really stood out, I think. One was Bunny Badger Games and Frothers, who did Grotesque Gogglebox, which was a series of stacked hexagon podiums getting progressively higher. And each one was like based around British TV. It was the dark underworld of British society, but built around classic TV shows. So you had like the Blue Peter Garden. There was like Teletubby Land, but there was always like a kind of dark twist on it. One of the and you work your way up these. One of the hexagons was like it was the BBC Complaints Department, which had a corridor with offices full of shredders. It was absolutely beautifully done. It was so, so well presented. And if you haven't seen it, you need to find pictures of it and go and have a look at it, because it was stunning and really, really, really well done. It was a beautiful game. I thought it was amazing. The other one I thought that really stood out for me, probably for out of the whole show, was probably the Loughton Strike Force Saigon 68 table, which was, yeah, it was like a scale model really of Saigon in 1968, going for, had a street from the city, along with going down to the river with the boats on it and helicopters flying, and then they were fighting through it, and it with cars and people, you know, bicycles and rickshaws. It's just stunning presentation.
Well, so in East London, and it's world renowned that East London, if you need to recreate Saigon anywhere, East London is the place to do it. So it wasn't, you know, Callander Water is a bit further west than out in East Ham, but you know, still nearly there.
Yeah, no, you're right. It was mind blowing. It was so. I find those tables so inspiring, and that one as well. The models that they were using on the table were beautiful as well, and they were playing across it. But really, it was just the visual spectacle of that was kind of mind blowing. And I think the third thing that I really want to pick out, and I don't think they really get mentioned, are the kind of small demo tables that people have put together for some of the skirmish games in particular. So I thought people who always do really good tables but don't really necessarily get a mention are like Warp Miniatures with their Arc World stuff. 7TV as well. They're sort of 2 foot square, yeah, skirmish tables. And the other one was Goblin King Games Moonstone. And also Oakbound Studios, they had the Wood Skirmish game. And those four in particular, they're basically having these 2 foot square tables, which they just spend a huge amount of time preparing a beautiful, beautiful table, which again, they're scale model quality, and just you just look at them and you get excited about playing. You get excited about it. You get excited. Oh, how have you done this? How could you use this? How could I do something like this at home? It just got me excited for. Could I put together a really, really nice 2 foot table? What could I do around something like this? But yeah, I think those small tables, they're just really there for demo games, but they're some of the best tables in the place. But because they're small, they get overlooked.
Well, I think that's something that's like really good to think about. They're really like, you know, we all live in London. It is to say, oh, we'd like to really like to do like a 20-foot table. We'd like to put a game on. Oh, we'll do like a massive table or something like that. It is ridiculous. We might as well say we're going to go to Mars. It's impossible for us to do like I'm having to build like my Charrington table. The terrain is like it's all bits of scatter because I've got nowhere to store it all. And it's like I have a 3x3 in my living room. It's all I can build to set it up on. Like I can't actually set the game up at home unless I play it on the floor or in my garden because I haven't got room. So, but like the idea of like building like a 2x2 table for like a skirmish game or a demo game of a big, I really like that idea, and I think it's something that you really could, but in a way, go to town on.
Yeah.
And go this, but I think. I really appreciate how you're like actually calling out and go, you don't have to do like, you know, here's like a 156 scale model of the tractor factory.
Yeah.
You could do something smaller that is both is maybe like fits in with like either like your space commitments or like your time, but also like the financial like layout of the circle. Like looking at the pictures that like some of the people, like the games that were put on, do look absolutely, truly awe-inspiringly stunning.
Mm.
But you also go, there's like about £1,000 worth of like tree armatures and stuff on that table, which is like a brilliant commitment for people who can make it, but not all of us necessarily sort of like have that amount of pocketbook. Or if you're a larger club and everyone can donate bits and pieces, then it's not such a massive investment. It's a thing that I've got more and more out of shows. It's looking at things and going, actually, like, oh, that's maybe not something I'm not necessarily going to want to copy that exactly for what I'm doing, but how can I nick bits that you've done from that and apply them to the gaming I want to do?
One of the other things that on those lines, you've prompted me to think of something else that I noticed that was really interesting. It was one of the sounds, I think it was, I can't remember who it was, but I think they were, did things around magnetization, and as a little demo, they had a small folding wooden case which opened up, and they'd used I think it was the Legions Imperialis models, but individually magnetized them and the vehicles, and they basically had a whole 40k table on a space about, you know, 18 inches long by about 12 inches wide, which folded up into a case, and it was all just magnetized into that. So you could play a full game of like 40k in a like very, very small briefcase that you could take with you and just whack it on a table in a pub, you know?
Yeah. It's like I've seen people who have done like Blood Bowl pictures and stuff that like fit inside a briefcase.
Yeah.
All that sort of stuff. It's one of the great things about a hobby, isn't it? You see something that you really like and you go, oh, that's really cool. I'm going to drop it down from, like, you know, inches to centimetres. I'm going to drop it down. Or you drop it down even further and you go, oh, should we play it in, like, 28 mil? I'm going to drop it down to, like, 10.
Yeah.
Oh, how much smaller a table can I play this in? Oh, I can now play it in a biscuit tin. Sort of a thing. I definitely like some of these different games, which are meant to be played in like a smaller playing area. Like, you know, if you wanted to do like a tiny area, and you know, you go, oh, fancy, like, I could just make like you know, not even like a Colosseum, I could just sort of make like a gladiatorial arena that's 18 inches across.
Mm.
Boom. You could go, and you could use it for. That's the sort of thing I think might sort of like appeal to me a lot. Like, it's going to be a Viking game that's just like a judicial jewel, like a thing, so you just make them mark out the little square.
Yeah,
I think that could be like quite a cool sort of thing. You go, oh, could you paint up a couple of like slightly larger, like, you know, 135 Viking models or something, and then do like a little jeweling game,
fun, wouldn't it? Yeah.
What's your table? It's a small field. It's a thing. It's an official thing. But yeah, so sort of seeing all those games, did you see any games that you sort of like you didn't know about, actually like seeing them in the flesh, think, oh, I might check out would be interesting sort of checking that out now, or were you more drawn to sort of games that you sort of like already knew or period you're already interested in?
Yeah, I honestly, I wasn't particularly looking at rule sets, or I find it in every year I go to be inspired, really, in terms of get what could I do that might emulate something like this. So I was more interested in that, I think. Having said that, I did, I guess Andy's probably mentioned this, but we did play Strength and Honour with Mark Backhouse, and I played that last year with Mark as well. And both times it's been a really good fun game, and the first time we absolutely walked it and trounced the other team into the ground with like very little problem, and this time we lost, but both times felt really close. the way the game works means that even if you're running away with it, you don't necessarily know you're running away with it until the last minute, until the last moment of the game and the cards are revealed, which keeps it tense for the whole game. It's a really good idea.
I do love how in true gamer logic, the one person on the podcast who has the rules is now the one person who's not actually played the game. Everyone else who doesn't have the rules has now played the game multiple times.
Yeah, it's a corker. And at some point I will be picking up the rules, and I will when I've got through some of my current projects, I will be looking to do some little teeny tiny armies to play that, because both times I've played it, both times have been really, really good fun. I've won and I've lost, and I've enjoyed both.
I definitely want to play it. I definitely want to play some Ancients, and I will start with definitely be using the like PDF units. And if it's something that I really like and actually decide I want to do more of, I might see myself to buy some of the like the units. I think I can't remember the name of the company, but I know Warbase itself.
Is it Aventine or something?
Something like that.
Yeah, Warbase is something.
Yeah. Begin with an A. Again, you know, listeners, listen to this show for the in-depth information.
It's fascinating, like
I think. Yeah. So, was there anything, just sort of as we're sort of like finishing off, was there anything that you sort of thought that was new this year that you thought was actually better than previous years? Like, I know there was a few developments this year that were a bit different. Any of those sort of like you? Did you notice any of them, or were they sort of like
Really. I was just going around in kind of a haze of warm glow of beautiful things to look at, and I know people find it a long day, and find it tiring, and it is tiring. It is a long day, but I quite happily fill the whole day.
Well,
just strolling around without a problem at all.
Well, when you listen to Andy's chat, you will find out that he is quite vocal in the making it a 2-day show.
Oh wow! Okay.
He ran out of time and didn't get time to see anything. And Ed actually also missed on, like Ed said, he was chatting to people afterwards and like, did you see this game? Did you see that game? He was like, no, missed that.
Yeah.
Didn't see that.
Yeah. I think the other thing I did enjoy this year was, I suppose, the first time I've started to bump into people that I hadn't necessarily known well before. I suppose started to meet people that I've met at other previous shows, or other people we've met through Facebook groups and things like that, and kind of be able to say hello and have a bit of a conversation, and it's to be a bit more part of that community element of it.
Recognize
people that's starting to happen for me a little bit, because I'm not a regular at the shows. It's taken a bit longer, you know.
That's what I've really missed this year. It's actually what I've missed, like, since we've been doing these like review things, is realizing that there was like a lot of people who I only maybe see like once a year or so at Salute, where I just get to say hello, both like gaming, like old gaming friends, but also like some of the like people from the companies that we chat to and that like, we've got to know through the podcast and like from going to shows, that sort of stuff. But yeah, I just absolutely. Even if you say like hello, like, you know, like this, what are you doing for that? You know, give him more horse transports. Give him, you know, give him a poke. But and I think it is one of the things that is like I think quite special about the shows. I think maybe sort of especially with it being so big, is it is that sort of like community thing, isn't it? You're going to see like so many people that do. It is the, like one of the, I know for like a lot of my friends for years, it was like, you know, they'd have people coming down from like Scotland and Darlington and all sorts, and that, you know, all my like university friends would all like meet up again to go to Salou.
Yeah, exactly.
But now they've all got sprogs and stuff, and so, you know, a weekend away to the Toy Soldiers.
It's not quite the same.
It's not quite as high on the priority list.
No, it was lovely, and it was nice to meet Alex Southern in the flesh, properly, and be able to say hello, even though he was chased off in short order by Mark Backhouse because Mark was trying to explain the rules to Andy and William for strength enough. And our conversation was kind of cutting across a little bit. So it was nice to see Alex and to be able to have an actual almost a conversation rather than just being commenting on each other's stuff on Facebook. So it'd be nice to see Alex.
Well, it's weird, isn't it? It was one of the most surreal things. I think it might have been a couple of years ago when like you're wandering around and people sort of come up to you and sort of say hello, and then you sort of like you realise people sort of listen to the weird toddle that sort of like just
smiles. Isn't it?
It's like,
isn't it amazing?
Yeah.
If you're listening to us and painting right now, good on you. Well done for getting this far.
Yeah, well,
absolute nonsense. It's quite nice, isn't it, really, I suppose. I mean, because I listen to loads of like different wargaming podcasts. So just to have them on in the background, it's just company, isn't it, while you're painting. It's nice. So if our dulcet tones soothe you while you paint, then you are very welcome.
Please join the Facebook group because we will be doing a gallery episode soon. So if you're a new listener and you're unfamiliar with the audio format of audio descriptions of painted miniatures,
I still don't understand it. I don't understand. I really don't understand why you lot listen to that.
I think we are possibly the only we are the only hobby podcast I know which has a sizable segment of its thing of describing audio things.
It's bizarre. You're all weird.
But we have a dedicated fan base. Admittedly, it is 25% less than the regular episode listeners. There is like a sharp decline of 25% less people listen to the gallery, but they are committed hardcore gallery listeners. So it's possible we may have some people who only listen to the gallery.
Whoa. Gosh.
There's all sorts of people out there.
Yeah. Something for everyone.
Yeah. Well, I think that just has been now casting dispersions on it's maybe a good time to sort of like wrap this up. But just like one final question sort of about Salou. Is there anything that you would like them to see for Salou 2025 to feed along to Southland? Was anything that you think they could either do better or just do again or keep on doing the same?
I was gonna, there was nothing wildly different that needs to change. There was nothing that was glaring. No, I think they've done a cracking job. I think they do a cracking job. And I'm always kind of blown away by the fact that, you know, it's a war games club. Their job isn't to organise a show. Their job is to organise games.
Can you imagine? It's basically the same situation as if us lot got told, you've got to put on like one of the biggest wargaming shows in the world.
I know. So I'm in awe of their dedication and the volunteers. And the time and effort that goes into organising it. I've organised events in the past, and they're massive logistical problems. It's a pain in the bum organising events, and to be able to have people that are willing to do the communications, update websites, liaise with sellers, all of that kind of stuff. It's really time consuming, and to do that kind of, you know, as volunteers because they love it and because they want to, they recognize that it's something that helps the community. I think they just, yeah, massive props to Southland Warlords. Well done.
Completely. So thank you very much for joining me this evening, Ben. Thank you, listeners. I hope you've enjoyed this 3-part look at Salute 2024. As I said, we'll be back next week with a hobby update. Then have some Meet the Hobbyists and some actual hobby content soon. So you will no longer be thinking about what models did people see or what games did they play. And we will also be having an update soon on the ECW thing that I've been working on. So more hobby content will be dropping your way soon. Please follow us on Facebook. Also, we're having a hobby hangout late this month, so check out the links on there where you can watch us paint live. Ben is also a frequent attendee of the hobby hangouts.
Yes, indeed.
So thanks again, Ben, and good night.
Good night.